So I want to welcome everybody again to this is Remnant Revival Ministries. We also want to welcome our End Time Headlines audience as well that are notified today. We welcome you guys coming on here today and also our YouTube audience. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of Remnant Revival Ministries and End Time Headlines. Today, I want to share a quick devotional word that I got yesterday in my devotional. And I want to be dealing with the parallels of the blood and the water. The parallels of the blood and water. There's some pretty powerful principles in here, I believe, are types and shadows to give us an understanding of the New Testament walk of the believer. And so I'm going to be dealing with, we're going to go with Exodus 14 today. Exodus 14 is where we're going to hang out today. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and follow along with us. I'm going to see if it will let me. I know Facebook just made some new changes recently, but I'm still not seeing the option to. There's still no option to share a live video for me to be able to share it to other locations. So that's kind of a bummer. So we will share that link when we can, and we'll put it up in our other location so many of you guys who was not notified live will be able to watch the rebroadcast of this. So let's go to Exodus 14, guys. Let me give you a little bit of backdrop. Again, I'm going to talk about the parallels of the blood and the water. I believe these two things go coincide. They work hand in hand to bring breakthrough and deliverance and victory. I'm talking about long-term, complete victory of the believer. When you go to the book of Exodus, it talks about, we see this story where, of course, everybody knows this story. The Israelites are in Egypt. They are being brought out by the hand of the Lord through the servant Moses. There is 9 judgments that fall, and the 10th one comes, which is the death of the firstborn, the children that are there. These 10 plagues come against the land of Egypt. It comes everything from frogs to lice to darkness to the rivers turning to blood, and the list goes on. And eventually, it was again, why did this happen? Because the Lord commanded Pharaoh to let his people go. Now, you've heard me say this, Egypt represents sin. Egypt represents bondage. It represents addiction. It represents the old man. It represents the unregenerated man. It represents the life that you and I lived prior to our conversion, prior to us being born again, to us being saved, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in which the Apostle Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And behold, the old has passed away and all things have become new. So he's talking about we transition from Egypt to, I believe, the promised land. Ultimately, the goal is the promised land, or from sin to liberation or to freedom. So in the Old Testament, here in the book of Exodus, we see where the Lord instructed the Israelites to take the blood of an earthly lamb and to put it over their doorpost, and it assured them divine protection and ultimately would be the catalyst that would thrust them out of Egypt and bring them into their journey from Egypt through the wilderness and ultimately into the promised land. So this is pictured in the New Testament, believer. See, in the New Testament, it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's through the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary that you and I are set free from the chains and shackles of Egypt, or thus sin and bondage. Okay, an addiction. So let me say that again. It's the blood that sets us free. Come on, somebody. The blood set us free. It was the blood that set the Hebrew people. It was the blood that set them free. The blood set them forward on their journey. When you and I, whether it be 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 50 years ago, when we said yes to Christ, when we said yes to Him, when we surrendered our lives, when we repented of our sins, the blood of Jesus supernaturally that flows through Emmanuel's veins washed us and purified us and made us whole and justified through the propitiation or the propitiation, that's the word. Meaning He, to not make this too complicated, He delivered us from death, hell, and the grave and set us free through the blood of Jesus. Okay, now watch this. We go to the book of Exodus 14, but here's what happens in the life of a believer. We say yes to Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. It washes us. We are forgiven of all of our sins. Come on, our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. We are heaven bound. We're no longer the old creation. We're a new creation. We're a new creature with a new feature. We are born of the Spirit, born again. We're walking in the newness of life and no longer under the sway of the wicked one. So, but watch what happens. But from the point where we say yes to Jesus to the time in which we either, come on, that we give up the Spirit, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Okay, so that ultimately is the promised land, stepping over into glory. So there's a position between Egypt and the promised land, and it's called the wilderness. It's the journey, and that's where you and I are in right now. So the blood gets us out of captivity, and it thrusts us into the wilderness or thrusts us into our journey as we pursue the promised land. But I'm going to tell you, there has to come another element to this. Because many times what happens is, as believers, we get born again, we get saved, we get washed in the blood. But as time goes on, many people, not all, but many are pulled back into the entanglement of bondage. This is why the book of Galatians says, be not entangled. He says, when you're set free by the liberty of Christ, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He actually tells you, you can be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, just because you got out of Egypt doesn't mean that Egypt is not pursuing you to try to pull you back into its captivity. Now I'm going to show you the picture of this. This is in Exodus 13 or 14. Watch this. You go down here and it says in verse 4, the word of the Lord says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them." Now watch, the children of Israel are out of Egypt. They're out of bondage. They're out of slavery. They're out of captivity, and they're pursuing the promise. Are you with me today? And as they're on their journey, the Bible says that Pharaoh will harden his heart and he will pursue them. Okay, now watch what it says. In verse 5, "Now it was told to the king of Egypt that the people had fled and that the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said," now I want to stop here. Prior to this, he tells Moses, after being crippled and humbled by judgment after judgment after judgment after judgment, eventually Pharaoh was weakened to the point where he said, "Let the people go." He says, "You can go, but you can only go so far." He says, "You can go at a certain distance. You can go so far." In other words, his power was broken off of them. But watch this. We deceive ourselves and many times thinking that just because we're out of sin, that sin is no longer tempting us, or it's no longer going to pursue us. Oh, come on, somebody. Or the demonic realm, the spirit realm, hell is not going to pursue us and come after us and try to bring us back into the very thing that God brought us out of. All right, watch this. So when it was reported to Pharaoh, and I'm going to tell you something. I believe Pharaoh represents Satan here. When it was reported to Satan, watch this, that you have lost those whom you had in bondage, your Bible says that Pharaoh became furious. And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people. Verse 7 of Exodus 14, he took 600 choice chariots, all the chariots of Egypt, with captains over every one of them. And he began to pursue the Israelites. You've heard me say this, friends. Some of you watching this today by YouTube, by Facebook, you were never a threat to the kingdom of hell. You were never had a target on your back as long as you were in the house of Egypt, as long as you were under Pharaoh, as long as you worshiped with Pharaoh and you worshiped with the Egyptians. Come on, you hung out with the Egyptians, you ate with the Egyptians, you drank with the Egyptians, and you just learned the way of the Egyptians and lived the way that you did like everybody else did. Everything was good for you. Everything was comfortable for you. That you didn't have any attacks. You didn't have any assignments against you. You didn't have the hardships. You didn't have the troubles. You didn't have the trials that you had. But the moment that you heeded the word of the Lord that said, let my people go, and you realize that God had more for you and he desired you to come out of Egypt's bondage and to trust him and walk in faith and learn how to be a son. Come on, who in that process of you learning sonship will eventually turn you into a soldier. What you didn't realize is, and unfortunately, many Christians deceive other Christians, and even leaders and pastors deceive other believers in telling them if they give their heart to the Lord, come on, that Pharaoh will leave them alone, that the chariots won't chase them any longer, that the choice men, the captains and the armies of hell will not pursue you anymore. But I've come by to tell you today that that's the exact opposite. And it's interesting. Listen, I talked about parallels here. If you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul instructs us as believers. Now this is believers that have already been born again. Follow with me today. We're already under the blood. We've been washed by the blood. We've been set free from death, hell, and the grave. We've been brought out of Egypt, per se. And we're walking in the newness of life. So you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul is instructing the saints or the church of Ephesus here. He says, Now that you're out of Egypt, out of the house of Pharaoh, now it's time to put on the whole armor. So here he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Listen to this, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles in Greek means the plots, the schemes, the plans, the devices, the assignments of the devil. In verse 12, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now notice, he mentioned ranks. He mentioned ranks of demonic powers. Just like over here in Exodus 14, you had Pharaoh, who was the head of the army. You have Satan, come on, who's the ruler of the kingdom of hell? And then over here in Exodus 14, he says he took 600 choice chariots, the chariots of Egypt, and the captains over every one of them. So you have ranks. So just as this picture in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, you have the enemy had ranks that pursued the people of God. In the New Testament, we have ranks of demons of hell that pursue the New Testament believer. Oh, I could really preach on this. Now, a lot of people embellish their attacks. They'll say, the devil is after me. With all due respect, more than likely, listen to this, it's probably not the devil himself, but it's more than likely his imps. It's probably principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. He's sending out, come on, the lesser rank demons to torment you, to try to, come on, to try to get you stirred up, to try to lose your, to make you lose your temper, to try to get you to take a drink of something that you once got brought out of alcoholism, trying to get you to pull back into it, trying to get you back into the drugs, back into the pornography, back into the anger, trying to get you into bitterness with somebody, to an unforgiveness. The enemy, and I'm trying to tell you, friends, the enemy pursues the believer because we are now a threat to the kingdom of hell, where in which at one time when we were in the house of Pharaoh, as long as we were under his rule, under his power, under his sway, we didn't propose a threat to him. We weren't a threat to the kingdom of hell. So watch this. Oh, come on, but I'm not going to leave you there, but watch what it says. So the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, Exodus 14, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Look at that, guys. They come out with boldness. I've come here to tell you today, if you're under the blood of Jesus, if you're born again, come on, then you have boldness. You have boldness of a believer. You have boldness. You have authority in the name of Jesus to cast out devils, to bring the enemies under your feet. You have boldness to come boldly before the throne room of grace and obtain mercy in the time of need. The Bible says you can trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by no means shall harm you. So they come out of Egypt. They come out of bondage, and they're under the blood, and they're coming out with boldness. So, but it says the Egyptians pursued them. Somebody say they pursued them. All the horses, the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and overtook them camping by the sea. And then it says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So watch this. Now, the Israelites recognized, now you got to get this picture in your head, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the deliverer in which God raised them up, and they saw supernatural signs and wonders. They saw the plagues. They were spared by the blood. Come on, somebody. Now they're in their journey. Somebody say they're in their journey. They're going about their business. They're going about the kingdom. They're doing the kingdom work of, come on, the Lord. They're about the Father's business. They're going, they're pursuing everyday life. And they lift up their eyes, watch this, and they begin to see the enemies. They begin to see their enemies marching after them. And your Bible says they were very afraid. They were very afraid. Just like before we slam the Israelites and before we ridicule them, many of us are guilty of the same thing. We quickly forget what God brought us out of. We quickly forget the delivering power of the Lord. We quickly forget that He brought us out of the addictions, brought us out of the bondages, brought us out of the sin, spared our lives, come on, brought us out of darkness and brought us into His marvelous light. And we forget the wonderful works of God and what He did and what He demonstrated to bring us out of that and give us a testimony. And why do we forget this? Come on, somebody. Here's the reason why. The moment that we encounter adversity, we encounter opposition, we quickly take our eyes off the one who was able to bring us out of, come on, the deliverance, bring us out of the bondage, and we quickly put our eyes on the circumstances. Golly, we quickly put our eyes back on the drugs that He brought us out of. We put our eyes on the pornography He brought us out of. He put our eyes on the alcohol He brought us out of. Come on, the prostitutions, the fornications, the adultery, the abominations, the wickedness, the lying, the stealing, the sin. We quickly take our eyes off the, come on, the God who's the deliverer, and we put our eyes back on Egypt and the armies of Egypt. But I like how the children of Israel responded. And I'm going to listen, I'm here to tell you today, they responded appropriately. And the Bible says when they became afraid in verse 10 of Exodus 14, it says, and then they cried out to the Lord. They recognize my help. They said, the Bible says, they lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes unto the hills in which my help comes from. Come on. The name of the Lord is a strong tower in which the righteous run into, and they are saved. Come on. They are saved. Come on. The name of Jesus. They begin to lift up their eyes to the Lord, and they cried out. It doesn't tell you what they said. It doesn't tell you what their cry was. It didn't tell you what their anguish was. It just said they lifted up their voice and began to cry out to the Lord. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that a broken heart and a contrite spirit, God will not reject. He cannot resist it. In fact, he says he's near to those with a broken heart, and he saveth such that has a contrite spirit. Jeremiah 29:12 says, if you'll search for him and seek him with all your heart and cry out unto him, he shall be found and he will speak unto you. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. I don't know what your circumstance is today. Come on, I don't know who this is for today. God's brought you out by the blood and you're in this journey. And it seems like all hell's chasing you. And it is. It seems like Satan's got a target on your back. And he does. And it seems like all the principalities and the powers and the wickedness and the evil spirits are just stirring things up and stirring up your family, stirring up your marriage, stirring up your finances, attacking your ministry, attacking your business, attacking your health. Instead of running to the doctor, running to the banker, running to the psychologist, running to the counselor, running to the bank. Come on, it's time that you get on your knees and begin to cry out to the deliverer. Cry out to the one who brought you out by the blood, brought you out by a mighty arm. Come on, the one who sleeps, he neither sleeps nor slumber. His arm is not short that it cannot reach, and his ear not heavy that it cannot hear you crying out to him. But I don't want to stop there. I want to keep on going. Listen to this. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves. Listen what they begin to say. Because they didn't get, oh golly, this is so powerful. Because they didn't get immediate help. Golly, they didn't immediately see the hand of the Lord. There wasn't an immediate lightning didn't come down. A fire didn't come down from heaven and strike the Egyptians. The earth didn't open up and swallow them. An earthquake didn't split open the ground. Come on, a meteor didn't fall. Fire didn't consume them. They didn't see an instantaneous deliverance. They didn't see an instantaneous answer. They didn't see an immediate miracle take place when they cried out to the Lord. Because of it, they became guilty of what you and I and many times have been guilty of. Because we don't see an immediate response, we begin to doubt. Come on, somebody. We begin to let fear creep in. We begin to let unbelief creep in. We begin to let uncertainty creep in. Watch what it says. Watch this. It goes from they cried out to the Lord to verse 11. It says, then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us out here to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. In other words, my goodness, Lord, don't ever let me get to this position. Don't ever let me get in a position of bitterness in my heart, in a position of discontent and disappointment in my heart, to the point where I begin to utter these words from my mouth. Lord, it would have been better for me to have remained in Egypt, for me to be delivered by your blood and to go on this journey and go through the hell that I'm going through, because it seems like you're not showing up when I want you to. Oh, I wish somebody would get real today and get honest before the Lord today. Have you ever thought once in your life you said, my goodness, it would have been easier for me to remain where I was because I didn't go through the struggles that I'm going through today. I didn't go through the marital attacks I'm going through today. I didn't go through the attacks I went through on my finances today. My kids were not in the way and the condition in which they were in until I said yes to the Lord and came under the blood of Jesus. I know nobody's going to testify to this today because you're embarrassed by it. But I'm telling you, if it's documented here in a parallel, then many of us are guilty of this. Now listen to this. And Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Why did he say don't be afraid? Golly, because Moses recognized the reason why they were saying this. The whole reason why they uttered these words was because of fear. Somebody say fear. Listen, fear can make you say some stupid stuff. Fear can make you do some stupid stuff. Fear was convincing them that it would have been better for them to die in their bondage and be lost than it would have been to take the plunge and take the step of faith and walk hand in hand with the Lord through this journey, however long that is, to get to their promised land. Satan had convinced them because he was roaring. I said he was roaring. The Bible says he's a roaring lion going to and fro and seeking who he may devour. But watch this. Oh, I can't wait till I get to the end of this thing because I know where I'm going with this. Watch this. Moses says, don't be afraid, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Oh, come on. I come by to tell somebody today. I know it looks like you're going through hell. I know it looks like you're going through trouble and trials and tribulation. And you don't know how you're going to get out of this thing with your health. You don't know how you're going to get out of debt. You don't know how you're going to get through this marital storm. You don't know how you're going to get your kids out of the bondage and the mess that they're in. You don't know how you're going to get your business back on its feet, your ministry back afloat. You don't know how you can pick yourself up back from your bootstraps because maybe you've fallen short and you've sinned against the Lord. And you say, I don't know how I can go any further. And because fear is gripping you, because you look out over the horizon and you see the enemy coming from all angles. You see him coming from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. You're getting attacked from the inside and the outside. But Moses is telling them, he's assuring them, and I want to assure you today, the same God that brought you out is going to be the same God that's going to bring you through. Oh, let me say it again. The same God that brought you out is going to be the same God that brought you through. Don't you believe that if God had enough power to snatch you up from the grip of hell, to break the chains off of you, to break the addictions off of you, to pull you out of darkness and out of the grip of Satan and hell, do you not think the same God has the power to intervene on your behalf and deliver you and come on and keep you? The Bible says he's able to keep you from falling. And he says, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, why in the world would Moses say stand still? Because Moses understood the battle is not mine, but it belongs unto the Lord. Now, watch this. This is why David, and let me say this real quick. This is why David had confidence when he stood before the giant, when he stood before Goliath. And Goliath was breathing his threats against him. Come on. He was speaking curses. He was breathing threats against David and all the camp of Israel. And everybody else heard the threats. They saw the giant. They heard the threats. They seen the enemy. They heard the threats it was breathed. And they retreated. They ran in fear. But David stood confident because he knew that he had the Lord of hosts on his hand. And it didn't matter how ridiculous it looked. Yeah, he's got a sword that's taller than me, and I've got a sling about this tall and some stones. But it don't matter at the end of the day what I've got working with, but it's who I've got working through. Golly. Hallelujah. Watch this. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the listen to this. So Moses begins to prophesy. Golly. See, when you know the God that you serve, you can begin to make declarations and you can begin to prophesy, thus saith the Lord. Paul told Timothy, with the prophecies that's been spoken over you, wage a good warfare. David told Goliath, he says, this day the birds of the air will feast on your head and on your flesh. I will take your head from you. He prophesied over him. Moses begins to... listen to this. He prophesies over the Israelites and he says, the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see no more forever. Golly. Come on, somebody. I want to tell you today, the attacks that you see in this season, God is able to break off of you and set you free in the next season. Oh, come on. The health problems that you have now will not be the health problems you have in the season to come. The marital storm that you're in now will not be the outcome that is to come. The bondage that you're in today will not be the bondage you'll be in to come. Listen to what he says here in verse 14. For the Lord will fight for you. Come on, somebody say that. The Lord will fight for me, and you shall hold your peace. Verse 15, and the Lord spoke to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. In other words, here's what he was telling Moses. It's time you stop talking about what you're going to do and start putting faith. Come on, start putting action and legs to your faith. Listen, we can talk all day long about what we're going to do and how we can do it and how we're going to do it. But we have to step out in faith. James said, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. Show me your works and I'll show you my faith. For faith without works is dead. You got to put feet to your faith. And he says, tell the people to begin to go forward. I don't know who I'm talking to today. Come on, man, I really feel this is a strong prophetic word for somebody today. Come on, God's brought you out of Egypt, brought you out of sin, brought you out of bondage, and you're stuck in the wilderness. You're stuck in this state, and almost like a paralysis state, because of fear and because of worry and because of anxiety, because of anguish, because of adversity, because of opposition, and because of the things that you're dealing with. But if you'll just look on the horizon, the promised land is just right over the horizon, and you just got to press forward, move forward with the Lord of hosts, move forward with the God who is fighting for you. Listen what he says. He tells Moses, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. In other words, listen, he told David, use a sling and a stone. He told Moses, use the rod that I've given you. David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen, use what you've got. Listen, you say, well, I don't have anything. Like, listen, you've got the word. You've got 66 books. You've got 66 books of the Old and New Testament. You've got precious promises that you can stand on. You've got yes and amen you can stand on. You've got thus saith the Lord you can stand on. You've got the blood of Jesus you can stand on. And I'm going to give you something else that you can stand on. Watch this. Let's go over down here to verse 19. It goes on, it says, the angel of God. So they begin to press forward. The Egyptians behind them, pursuing them, and the Red Sea in front of them, the impossible in front of them. All right? It says, the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. Come on, I'm telling you guys, we have the angels of the Lord with us. The Bible says goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. The Bible says, the angels of God shall bear you up lest you dash your foot against the stone. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. The enemy shall come at you one way, but be defeated and smitten before your face and flee seven ways. I said the angel of God, who was with them in the camp, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other. Oh, there's a distinction between those who know God and those who don't. Watch this. And one did not come near the other night. Now I'm going to move down here. It says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back and a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. And then it goes on, it says, so the children of Israel went forward. They went in the midst of the sea of the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and on the left. But the Egyptians kept on pursuing. They kept pursuing and went after them in the midst of the sea. All the Pharaoh's horses, the chariots, the horsemen. And then the Bible says in verse 24, I love this. It says in verse 24, it said, in the morning, the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and clouds. Golly. I don't care. Listen, I don't know what kind of storm you're in. I don't know what kind of trial you're in. And it's like you're groping, and it's like you can't see a way out. You can't see a beam of light. You can't see hope. You can't see any way to get out. You can't see any deliverance. You can't even hear a whisper. You can't see any breakthrough because of the heaviness of this thing, the darkness of this thing. It's so encompassed by fear and anxiety and oppression and heaviness. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says even in the midst of the fire, even in the midst of the cloud, even in the midst of the Egyptians, the armies, the chariots, all this mess, all the noise, all the warfare, the Bible says that God was looking down upon it. He didn't turn his back. He didn't walk away. He didn't shun them. He didn't forget them. He was still watching everything. Golly, who am I talking to today? He sees your battle. He sees your struggle. He sees the impossibility. He's looking. He's watching. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'll be with you, yea, even unto the end of the age. Watch this. And he took, and it's the Bible says the Lord took off their chariot wheels. And he drove so that they drove with difficulty. He began to remove the struggle. He began to remove the adversary. He began to slow down the attack. He began to change the course of the adversity. He began to turn things around. He began to produce breakthrough. And watch this. It was so bad that the Egyptians began to say, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Come on, I believe we can get to a place in our walk with God, church, that even sinners, even our boss, even our enemies can look at our circumstances and say, there's got to be a God in heaven, because I don't even see how they got out of that circumstance. I don't see how they saved their marriage. I don't see how they brought themselves out of the brink of bankruptcy. How did they bring themselves out of the valley of the shadow of death? They had stage 4 cancer. They had an impossibility. The doctors wrote them off and gave them a diagnosis that they would not make it to live to 2 weeks from now. But how did they come out of it? How did they get risen from this? How did they come back from this? Come on, I believe that God can begin to do things in our lives that even the people that don't like us the most can look upon it and say, my goodness, I don't really care much about your Christianity. I don't care about church. I don't read the Bible. I don't care about religion, but I am puzzled and bewildered, and I'm scratching my head saying, there has to be something supernatural that brought you out of what he brought you out of. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians. Oh, God, listen, God does, he doesn't want to just drive away your adversary. He wants to swallow up your adversary. Golly, let me say that again. God is not in the business of just driving away your adversary. He wants to swallow up your adversary. See, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. Watch this. And Moses, and so the waters came down and it flooded over the Egyptians, over the chariots, over the horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returns to its full depth. And while the Egyptians were fleeing into it, and the Bible says, so the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came in the sea after them. Not so much of one of them remained. Now, here's what I got. This is what I want to close with. It was the blood that brought them out. The blood brought them out of bondage, but it was the water that brought them through. Let me say that again. The blood brought them out, but the water brought them through. Now, what does this represent? The blood brought them out. That represents, again, the blood of Jesus brings us out of sin, bondage, and darkness, and brings us into his marvelous light, brings us into a covenant with God. But friends, until we either get caught up or we die and go up, we are in this place I call the wilderness. This is in between where God is providing. He's supplying. He's bringing provision. He's giving us victory. He's giving us breakthrough. But watch this. But it's the water that swallowed up the adversary. Now, what does the water represent? Let me give you some verses here and see if you can get this picture here. Ephesians 5:26-27. That the Lord might sanctify his bride, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor. This is a different translation, guys, so bear with me, the New King James. That he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, that he might be holy and without blemish. Ezekiel 36:25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen to this, John 5:7-9, for there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. And then you go down here. Watch this. All through the scriptures, guys, Isaiah 12:3, John 4:10, John 4:14, Revelation 22:1. It talks about and gives you a picture of the water being the word of Almighty God. Thus, what it's speaking to me and what I want to relate to you today in this message, the blood of Jesus gets us out of bondage. It gets us out of our sins. But guys, there's a thing called sanctification. Because you got to hear this today. Even the Bible says that when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes and searches and looks for dry places. And he says to himself, I will go and come. He says, I will come back. And I will go and bring seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And he says he will try to come back. Come on, come back and make his home there. So just because you've been brought out of Egypt, don't get naive to think that Egypt is not going to pursue you. So how do we overcome, come on, the Egyptians? How do we overcome the sin? How do we overcome bondage? How do we overcome addictions? How do we overcome darkness and temptation? It's through the word of God daily. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then in Romans 12, it says, be not conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It talks about by the word of Almighty God. I don't know who this word was for today. I believe this was a multifaceted word today. I got this yesterday through my devotional. And I believe this is impactful to somebody watching this today. I believe it's speaking to many different individuals on many different levels. So I want you to hear what Brother Ricky is saying today. It is, again, the blood of Jesus. We thank God. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that still flows through Calvary. It still flows from Emmanuel's veins, that has the power to set us free, power to break chains and darkness and get us out of Egypt. But friends, we got to get into the Word and let the Word of God wash over us. Not only will it purify us, not only will it cleanse us, but it will begin to drown our adversaries. How did Jesus destroy the adversary when he was coming against him in the wilderness? Come on, somebody. He destroyed him by the Word of Almighty God. Come on, do you receive this today? I want to pray for some folks today, and then we're going to sign off today. Father, I thank you for those that are watching this today, watching this broadcast by live via by Facebook or by the rebroadcast by YouTube or by the website or however they may watch this today. Father, I thank you for those that have been delivered out of the house of Pharaoh through the blood of Jesus. Lord, they've been set free. The chains have been broken. The anointing has broken the yoke through the power of the blood of Jesus. They've been set free of death, hell, and the grave. But through this process, through this wilderness, through this journey, Lord, maybe some of them the enemy has begun to wear them down. He's chased them. The chariots of Pharaoh's army has come upon them, and out of fear, they have allowed fear to grip them. And many of those have gone back to Egypt. They've turned back and they've went back into Egypt. They have become comfortable again in the house of Egypt and under the house of Pharaoh. But in their heart of hearts, they're crying out for their deliverance. They're crying out for that Moses to come and set them free. But they're afraid to take those steps of faith, afraid to burn those bridges behind them, afraid to walk away from that bondage, walk away from that addiction, walk away from that relationship, walk away from those friends that are, or whatever that is that's keeping them in the house of Egypt. But I declare today, Father, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're setting them free and giving them victory and breakthrough today. Lord, I pray that they would do like you told Moses, or that Moses told them to do. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just take a moment to stand still and come to the realization that the battle is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord. And when you regroup, and when you begin to be edified, and you gather yourself together, you put on their armor of God, you begin to take that prophecy that's been spoken over you, and then you begin to open your mouth and begin to prophesy, thus saith the Lord, and you begin to do as the commandment of the Lord said, begin to walk forward, pursue, go forward, and move forward in your victory, overcoming that which God has already set under your feet by the blood of Jesus and by the victory at Calvary in Jesus' name. Come on, do you receive that today? Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, guys. Listen, we want to thank you guys for jumping on to the broadcast today, being a part of this broadcast. We pray that this message from Remnant Revival has been a blessing to you. It's encouraged you. It's equipped you. I pray that it will continually be a blessing to you, that this ministry will continue to feed you, encourage you, equip you, and inform you. If this ministry does, either through Remnant Revival or through End Time Headlines or both, I want to encourage you today to support this ministry, whether it's a one-time gift or it's a monthly partnership, or if this is your home church, we ask that you be faithful with your tithes and offerings and be obedient to what the Holy Spirit would speak to you today. And listen, you can do that two simple ways. Just first, you got to go to the link. Just click under where it says support RRM. Click on that link. It'll take you to a page where you can give electronically. You can give either through your credit card, through PayPal. There's many ways that you can give there, or you can give by check or money order to Remnant Revival Ministries or End Time Headlines, and that is P.O. Box 2312. And that's Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. Again, we greatly appreciate your prayers, your support, and your partnership to this ministry, which enables us to do this full time, to do what we're doing, to inform, to equip, to encourage, and to do what we're doing full time. As always, guys, we want to encourage you to subscribe to our email subscription. You'll get one digest into your inbox every single day. You can get push notifications that will notify you of when messages like this right here are uploaded to our website. You will be notified on your device, and then you will be able to catch that brand new message. Again, guys, we don't do paid subscriptions. We don't do merchandise. We don't sell books. We don't sell CDs. We don't sell DVDs. Everything is absolutely free. And this is why I always want to encourage you to pray about and ask the Holy Spirit to do, ask the Holy Spirit what you would have to do to help support this ministry if it is a blessing in your life and encourages you and informs you on a daily basis, a weekly basis. We come on here at least three times a week, feeding you what we believe is a fresh word, a rhema word of God, or we inform you of the times and seasons in which we're in. So God bless you guys. Again, thank all of you guys for your support and your prayers on a continual weekly basis. We're going to sign off today, and we're going to come back on here on Friday with either a lot is taking place right now, guys, in the Middle East with Iran, with North Korea, with Russia, and all these things. So we need to really be paying attention to what's going on there in the Mideast. And we're going to be keep an eye on that. And if I feel like we need to do an update on that, we will do that on Friday or whatever else may happen between now and Friday. If not, then I'm going to pray about a word to bring on Friday. But nevertheless, we prayerfully, by the will of God, we will see you on Friday. Now, this weekend, Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern, we are going to be at God's Church there in Cordon, Indiana. You can just go, you can Facebook that. You can look it up on Facebook. You can Google it, God's Church, Cordon, Indiana. We're going to be right there on Sunday morning, Sunday morning service. We're going to be bringing the word there. I'm excited about this. I'm praying every day from now until then for a powerful move of God. I'm asking God to move upon people, to bring deliverance, to bring breakthroughs, to bring salvations, and people will be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just really encounter a fresh move of God. So if you're anywhere in driving distance of Cordon, Indiana, then we would love to see you this weekend. If not, we understand that, and it should be, from what I understand, it should be live streamed, and we will post a link of that on ETH and on Remnant Revival Ministries as well. So God bless you guys. We will see you guys on Friday.